Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Hey, we're going to get into God's word this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to have a look at chapter 5 and verse 2, one of the great healing miracles in the ministry of Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 2, you ready to receive something from the Word today? Come on, those who love their Bibles. John chapter 5, verse 2, if you don't have your Bibles, the verses are available for you on the screen. Here we go. John chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches." Those of you who've been to Israel, you've been there. It's been excavated, and there are five porches. "In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, there was a certain man who was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, that is long chronos, second by second, minute by minute, day by day, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately," when did it happen? "Immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed and walked." Now, I grew up as a child in South Africa. South Africa is one of those countries, I was 8 years of age, turned nine shortly after, where the influence of Christianity in the nation is spread. It's far. I remember as a kid in South Africa, people would preach on buses. Remember there was this one guy who would drive around our community, and he littered his truck, or whatever you want to call it, "Jesus Saves," John 3:16, and he had this huge megaphone on his roof. Now, I'm not giving any of you ideas here, by the way. I'm just relaying to you a story. And he would literally just go around and just drive through the streets preaching the gospel. Now, with that, we found that in our culture, in our country, that on Sundays, it was tradition that you would go to church. And so you have communities, whole communities of people who would go to church. Now, my mum and periodically my dad would take us to church, more so my mum. It was walking distance. And you kind of go to church, you do your thing, and then you'd go home. And it was kind of more cultural than it was a relationship. Now, out of that culture came all kinds of beliefs. So I remember as a kid at Easter, we were not allowed to eat meat. And so my mum used to cook, God bless her, this fish that just smelt, and onions, and mixed all together. And as children, my brother, my sister and I, that was the only thing we were allowed to eat from Good Friday all the way through to Sunday. And let me just say, our breaths were just, it was not happening. And then when I became a Christian at the age of 14, and I remember at about the age of 16, I grew up with this tradition, South African tradition and all of this, I cooked a steak one Saturday morning on Easter weekend. You got pickled fish, and Brad's, and my mum went crazy. And I said to her, I said, you've got to show me where in the Bible does it actually say you're not allowed to eat meat on Easter weekend. And she goes, it doesn't matter. It's tradition. It's the honorable thing to do. And so in our cultures, we find and we develop things that we believe or we say that may not actually be scriptural. Now, there's a lot that is spread across the globe, a lot that's been preached from pulpits, a lot that maybe have been passed down in our families, maybe from a grandparent, sayings that we adhere to or things that we give ourselves to or come under that perhaps aren't necessarily biblical. Now, I'm going to give you some of these sayings this morning. And I hope that there are families who do not get offended at me today if this has been passed down from generation to generation. Now, you can hold on to it if you want, but we've got to make a statement that these sayings are not found in the Bible. Are you ready? Here we go. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Saying, but it's not in the Bible. Some of you have gone very quiet on me. I thought it was. How about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. Do you want another one? The eye is the window to the soul. Who ever thought of that one there, right? That's not in the Bible. How about this one? Be in the world. Oh, you know where this one's going to go, comma. But not of the world. That is not in the Bible. It's a nice saying. Who's having a freak out this morning? Some of you are like, I need to read my Bible more. How about this one? Now, I have to say, I have quoted this one. Hopefully not from the pulpit, but I definitely have. And I think it's family. It's been a family saying. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Now, can we just have an honesty session at Horizon Church this morning? Who's ever quoted that one before and thought it was from the Bible? Because I certainly have. All right. Now, here's the one that we're going to look at today. God helps those who? Not in the Bible. God helps those. My mother used to say that to me. God helps those who help themselves. Now, get moving. And all the South African children said. Now, the Gospel of John, we have to understand, is made up of what you could call a shallow and a deep end. I don't really like to refer to it as shallow or deep, but in my kind of finite thinking, I can't think of a better way to describe it to you. Shallow being literal, what you're observing, what you're reading, factual truth, vivid truth, in front of your eyes. But of course, there is a deeper side to it in everything that we read and see, of course, including the passage that we read this morning. Perhaps a better way to explain it is a little bit like the peeling of an onion. So it starts with a certain layer and you can peel till you get to the core of the message. And so one man described it like this. He said, it's shallow enough for a little child to play in, but, deep enough for an elephant to drown in. So what we're going to do today is we are going to have a look at that saying, God helps those who help themselves. And there are literal truths that are in front of us, but we are also going to go into the deeper end of the swimming pool and unpack the very heart of God in this story. Now, we've heard a story or read a story this morning of a group, a great multitude, the Bible says, of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And the Bible says that they would wait for the moving of the water. Then whoever stepped in first was supernaturally healed. Now, we don't know if this was a reality. We don't know if it was perhaps a superstitious saying that got passed down from generation to generation, but this man, what we do know is that he had been in this condition for 38 long years, believing that if he was the one who got into the water first, when the angel apparently came and stirred up the water, he would be healed. Now, we need to pause for a moment and consider that and consider what his life would have been like believing that if he was first, he would be healed. So for 38 years, he's been in this condition. He's waiting for the stirring of the water. And unfortunately, he was the one who kept losing the race because he said to Jesus, others go in before me. You can imagine him adjusting his position. Now, I was this guy, and let's just say that was the pool. I'm like sleeping on the edge, and I'm just going to kind of, if the water gets there, I'll just roll, you know. You just roll in. So his whole life has been built around this concept or this idea that if I'm the first one, I will be supernaturally healed. Now, keep in mind that the Bible says that there was a great multitude of sick people. So we're not just talking 4 or 5 or 6. We don't know the number, but what we do know, there is a great multitude of sick people who are wanting to be healed. We know that this man, as I mentioned earlier, had been in this condition for 38 years. He's got one hope, and that is when this water is stirred, if I'm the first one, I'm in, I'm healed, keeping in mind there's no miracle drugs, there's no neurosurgeons, there's no physical therapist to help him, neither is there a social security program to assist people in his situation. This man is desperate, and the quality of his life is a 3x6 mat. Church, 38 years is a very long time. Think about his internal condition. Think about his emotions. Think about his purpose in life. Does he have a purpose in life? Think about his emotional well-being. Think about the thoughts he would think about himself. We are talking about almost 4 decades of being in this place. 4 decades of hopelessness. 4 decades without purpose. And then one day, he has a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. Now, every day of his life would never be the same. Everything changed for this man. We are talking about a radical, dynamic shift in this man's life. What a moment for this man. For almost 4 decades, he'd been in this condition, trying to get ahead, trying to be the first one, trying to get into the water before other people. And one day, Jesus Christ comes, and this man is supernaturally healed, supernaturally set free, and his life is never, ever the same. 5 things we're going to get out of this morning. Are you ready? What startles me about this miracle, number one, is that the healing was not a response to a request. The man was not healed because he reached out to Jesus like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Jesus is not in. He cried all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Or the 10 lepers, or the woman with the issue of blood, reaching out to touch the hem of his garment, or Jairus, who came to Jesus and said, can you come and heal my daughter? This man never searched Jesus out, yet he had a miracle. Come on, are you with me this morning, church? It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What we have here this morning is the very picture of the gospel, that in this situation, this man had no strength, no purpose. He had no idea even of who Jesus was, because later on, he didn't even know who healed him. But yet the love of God reached out, and we see the highest manifestation of the love of God, where somebody did not ask for something, yet the love of God reached out and touched him and set him free. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Let's keep going. Number two, I want you to also notice this morning that the healing did not presuppose an expression of faith on part of the man. He did not say at all, not once did he ever say, I believe. He did not at all express any form of belief or desire to say, I actually think you are the Messiah, Lord Jesus. Absolutely nothing. Yet power meets the powerless, and hope meets the hopeless, and strength comes into a weak body. What are we talking about? We are seeing a call for us to see something. And the call is this. The call is a recognition of the grace of God. That I was born in sin. I had no desire for him. But yet his love still reached out to me, and he still called me and drew me to himself. It's a call to recognize a divine intervention that you and I sit here today, not because we worked out a good plan of how our Christian life would work out. We sit here in the presence of Almighty God today, simply and purely because of his grace and because of a divine intervention that reached out to humanity. And God chose to love us regardless. Let's keep going. Number three, the healing is a microcosm of the entire human race. The healing is a microcosm of the entire human race. The Bible says, now let's go into the deep end a little bit here, that there were five porches. There are five books of law in the Bible. They house these sick people. But the law could not heal them. The law could not set them free. It sheltered the sick, but it was only Jesus Christ who could come and see that sick man set free from that which held him bound and captive. The truth is, this story this morning, church, is your story. It's my story. I was the one who was sick. I was the one who was blind. I was the one who was lame. I was the one who was paralyzed. It is a graphic depiction of the spiritual state of the human race. Yet God, in his grace and in his kindness and in his mercy, he reached out to us. He showed us love. He brought us to himself. And he offered us hope and love and meaning and healing and purpose. Number four, the healing was a specific and individual call. It was a specific and individual call. Watch this. When Jesus saw him lying there, watch this, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. Jesus knew about his despair, his despondency, and his difficulty. Jesus knew that he had been going through this in his life. Yet the man was still singled out. And the gaze and the microscopic vision of Jesus reached out to this man. And God saw him. The love of God saw him. So here's the point. When you sit in this meeting today, God does not see a crowd. Do you know who he sees? He sees you. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. He sees your pain. He sees your difficulty. And guess what he does? He singles you out and he calls you by name. You are the center of his heart, his mind, and his compassion and his love and his mercy today. And it was a specific individual call for this man. I want you to notice who initiated the conversation. It says in John chapter 5, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, who initiated the conversation? Wasn't the man, wasn't the people around, it was Jesus. Jesus was the one who initiated the conversation. And today he initiates a conversation with you. He has brought you to this place. He has initiated a conversation. He is showing you his love. He is showing you his mercy. And he's reached out. And it brings us to our last point, number 5. The healing brings us face to face with an eternal question. This question is a question that we all will face in our lives, just like this man at the pool of Bethesda. Let's look at the question. When Jesus saw him lying there, he saw him. He fixed his gaze upon him. He knew about his condition. He had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? That question is a question that we will face for our lives between now and eternity. Do you want to be made well? Now, I want you to notice how Jesus does this. He's so cool. He's so happening. He's got this. Now, we know the condition of the man. We know that he had been in that condition for a long time. So it's almost a little bit like, well, it's obvious. Of course, the man's there for a reason. He's waiting for the stirring of the water so he can be set free from his condition. But yet Jesus still asks him the question, do you want to be made well? It's kind of offensive in some ways. It's like you and I going on a pastoral care tour of, let's say we go to the hospital and let's say we go to a cancer ward. And we're pastoring, we're loving, and we say to the people, do you want to be made well? Well, of course they do. Nobody wants to be in that condition. Yet, Jesus, eternity asks us the question, do you want to be made well? Do you know why? You know why he would still ask that question, even though the need of the man was obvious? Because God will never force. He will never ever force himself upon you, and he leaves it up to you to determine whether you will open up your heart and receive him and receive what he asks, where he says, do you want to be made well? Now watch this. The man was not healed and good things happened, and then Jesus was like, all right, we're best buddies right now. This is good. This is all happening. How was he set free? He was set free in his condition. He didn't need to do anything. He didn't need to pray the Our Father prayer 96 times. And Jesus like, okay, now he's ready now. All right, heaven, he's prayed the Our Father prayer 96 times. Now he's ready to... He did nothing, absolutely nothing, because the story is a picture of God's love reaching down to humanity. And he says this to you, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty God, same word, do you want to be made well? And you don't need to gain my acceptance or my approval for me to love you. But if you choose it, and you say yes. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 9 of this man, immediately he was made well and he walked. When you experience eternity, when you experience the precious blood of Jesus that was shed upon a cross, when you experience it, there is a forgiveness, there is a healing, there is a freedom, there is a joy, there is a life. Immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed, and he walked. What did he walk from? He walked from his past. He walked from the things that held him captive. He walked from what held him bound. He walked from what defined him. He walked from what was a place of hopelessness. He walked away from it, because that's what happens when you answer the question, do you want to be made well? Now let's come back to those sayings. The myth is God helps those who helps themselves. The truth is God helps those who cannot help themselves. His love reaches out to you today. Now, you know, my dad, you know, he would kind of come to church periodically when I became a Christian, and he was one of those guys, you know, he'd throw out the saying, if I went to church, the roof of the church would cave in. So now you think about the saying. What he's saying is, I need to get cleaned up. I need to get the scrubbing brush out, get rid of all the sin, because if I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be clean. Right? I got to have it together so that God would accept me. It's a lie. The man was in the condition of being in that condition, I should say, excuse me, for 38 long years. Yet the love of God still reached out to him. Yet the love of God still brought him to himself. Yet God still gave him purpose and freedom and healing and set him free. Where? In his present condition. See, if you try and get it right, if you try and get the scrubbing brush out, or that sin on my ankle, that sin on my knee, or my back, oh, the back's real bad, and you try and clean it up, I got news for you. You're going to keep trying, and then you'll keep trying, and then you'll keep trying. 1 year will go by, 2 years will go by, 5 years will go by, 10 years will go by, 20 years will go by. We see this man had been in the condition for a long time, trying to get ahead, trying to be the first one in the pool. Yet the Holy Spirit, in his amazing wisdom, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, comes to the man who was trying to be the first and says, stop trying to be the first. Stop trying to be the one who cleans it all up. What you need today is an encounter with Jesus. What you need today is to experience Him. What you need today is to experience the love of God, setting you free, strengthening you, encouraging you, and changing you, because God helps those who cannot help themselves. When I came to Christ at the age of 14, it was a shock. It was a shock to my mum, shock to my dad, because Brad was going in a direction that was not helpful for humanity. And I remember a friend at school, he's like, you're doing this God thing. He goes, I'll give you 1 week. I thought, man, maybe I was really bad. I don't know. But that 1 week turned into 2 weeks. Turned into 2 years, turned into 10 years, got called to ministry, met an awesome, beautiful girl by the name of Allison. We had children. Wow. And all of a sudden, my life was not just changed, but a generation has been changed. Because it wasn't about my abilities, how good or how bad I've been for God to say, all right, he's ready. He was like, man, he prayed the Our Father prayer so good. He's now ready. Not at all. The gospel is good news. It's about His love. Now, here's the mistake that we make in the story. The mistake of the story is that the story is in fact not about the man. The story is about a loving, gracious God who was willing to reach out to somebody in a crowd and release him and set him free. The story is about Jesus. Today, as you sit in the crowd, wondering whether God would love you, accept you, the answer is absolutely yes. You're not in a crowd today. He sees you. He sees your pain. He sees your hurt. And He asks you the eternal question. Are you ready? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And we're all placed in that position and we have to answer it. We can either reject it and say, oh, I'm just try it for a little bit longer. Try it my way. Like, you're good, Jesus, but let me just try and get in the water myself. Or you can be found and you can surrender and you can humble yourself. Humble yourself and to say, Jesus, here I am in my present condition, but you still love me. You still accept me and you still choose me. This is what we're going to do. In a moment, you doing okay? It's getting very warm in our auditorium. My makeup's melting. Just kidding. I know when it's warm because I see people grabbing the conference brochures. They start going, my makeup. I don't wear makeup. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Podcast, Pastor Brad does not wear makeup. That was a joke. In Jesus' name, amen. I do shave my head, but I don't wear makeup. So we can be truthful about that. Amen. What's your present condition? How long you been on the side of the pool? You're going to keep trying? You're going to give it another year? Go for 39 years, 40, 41, 40? How long are you going to keep going? Come on, it's time to stop today. It's time to stop and let God love you today. This is what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, close our eyes. Is that cool? The reason why is because it's a moment of privacy. In this moment of privacy, we're going to pray. The reason why we're going to pray is we're going to open up our hearts to God and we're going to give people the opportunity to receive His love today, to answer, come on, stay with me, church. Don't switch off. To answer the eternal question, do you want to be made well? If you're willing to open up your heart, the Bible says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. All things pass away. All things become new. This man's life was never the same. I can promise you, if you genuinely experience, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about a relationship with the person who created you and loves you and knows what you're going through. If you truly experience Him, your life will never be the same, just like this man. So let's bow our heads, if we can, please. Let's close our eyes. And we're going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me. And as you pray it, the rest of the church, we're all going to pray it together. Pray it from your heart. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Jesus Christ, I believe in You. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive Your freedom. I receive Your love. And I receive Your complete acceptance. I am now set free from my past. I am now a child of God. I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you never prayed that prayer before, or you did a long time ago, now I'm speaking to some people, you prayed it a long time ago, but you've been disconnected in your relationship with God. He's reaching out to you. He's reaching out and He asks you the question, do you want to be made well? If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand just in a moment. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand is so that I can see you. I've got a couple of trusted people just around the auditorium who are also helping me to see. Sometimes it's difficult to see everybody. Come on, are you ready? Here we go. Do you want to be made well? 1, 2, 3. Lift it up nice and high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Anyone else? Come on. Lift it up nice and high. Do you want to be made well? God bless you. I see your hand as well. Anyone else? Thank you. I really appreciate your honesty. Once I've seen your hand, you can put it straight back down. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Who else is there? Come on, lift it up nice and high. God bless you. I see your hands, guys. You can put your hands down. That's great. Who else is there? I'd love the opportunity. Thank you. I see your hand as well. That is fantastic. Come on, who else is there? Do you want to be made well? Eternity is asking you a question. Do you want to be made well? God bless you. I see your hand as well. Really appreciate that. Who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on. Just a few more seconds because we do need to move on with the rest of our meeting. Anyone else? I'd love the opportunity. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Who else is there? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So, so good. So good. Final chance. In Jesus' name. Awesome. Awesome. Now, church, we said we were going to pray for these people. Are we ready to pray? Come on, Horizon Church. We're ready to pray. Father, thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for new beginnings. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, we answer that question, do you want to be made well? And we say, yes, come, Lord Jesus, change our lives. So we receive forgiveness, healing, and freedom. We repent of our sin today, and we walk away from our past. And we declare all things have become new today. We speak it and declare it. In Jesus' awesome name, and all of God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give those people who raised their hands a great clap of encouragement today. Lots of hands right across the auditorium. So good.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.